Alright, okay, let me just get into what I want to teach today immediately, alright? But before I do that, can we just say that our incantation again? Let me just start by explaining this again. Anything you see outside it's a reflection of that which is spiritual, alright? And then, there's always a genuine one. And that's why you can see a counterfeit. Even if something looks counterfeit, there's a genuine that they are copying. That's why all your days... How many of you have ever seen counterfeit money before you handled it? It's common enough. I'm sure we have seen it. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. The last one you saw, was it a counterfeit 250 naira? Ever seen a counterfeit 250 naira? No, answer me now.
No.
What about... Okay. 250 is too small. You saw a counterfeit 700 naira. Or a counterfeit $250. Do you know the simple reason? There's no original. That's the idea. Why did I say that? Don't ever forget this. All over the town, you find cults. All right, people belong to cults. I say a man joined Ogboni. He joined this. He joined that. Let me just say, these are the counterfeit of the real thing. The real thing is Christianity. Did you hear what I said? The real thing is what?
Like to say it,
you are, if you are a true Christian, you are in a real cult. That's the real one. Do you understand my point? All these other ones are attempts at tapping into spiritual power. The real one is Christianity. Don't ever forget it. And we're not discussing that now. We've discussed it before. The fact is that we are the ones that are doing real cults, okay? What do I mean by cults now? You get into an association, you have an agreement with people, you have sacrifices, you have incantations. You understand that? You have incantations with which you tap into spiritual power. Let's not go over it again. But indeed, we drink blood, amen?
Amen.
We drink blood, amen?
Amen.
We drink real blood, amen?
Amen.
The amount of life you tap from the blood you are drinking is determined by the quality of the blood. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you know when you say that witches went to suck blood. You are going to that's why the witch too will die. You get my point? You suck the blood of an unbeliever. What are you going to get? It's more corruption in your system. But Jesus said something clearly. If you want life in you, you eat my flesh and do what? You drink my blood. All right, we drink blood. If you're a blood drinker, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I like that. I'm in the company of the real ones. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, you drink real blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. But the one I'm really going to is the fact that we have two things that people often forget. We have incantations and we have power. The way by which you tap into your power is by the appropriate use of your own incantations. Since we were children, I don't know if you grew up in the East, those of us grew up in the West, you understand? When we're young, Indian films, what do you watch? It's Lover Boy, Lover Girl, that is Indian film. All right. Chinese film, you kill my master, I kill you, you know that kind of thing. Yes, you injured me 20 years ago, I've gone to the jungle, I have learned Tuaicha, and Doja, snake goes into monkey shadow, monkey come out of snake shadow. Yeah, you get my point? That's Chinese film. Everybody's always fighting. But when you get to Yoruba film of those days, the days of Ogunde, I don't know if you remember Herbert Ogunde. Who get time for hooky who father, who's avenging whose mother? No, but nothing. What the guys will do is I'll show you how the courts operate. So when the two powerful men want to fight, in Chinese film, they do here. No, this one, they will bring out things. You understand? They will do sacrifices and then begin incantations. Very, very lojurimu, bobo lagutonwo. I remember a few lines. And this guy could go on for 1 hour nonstop. And those things they were saying, listen, if you didn't know it, you think it's film. Just like Chinese film. Those things they are doing feel like film, but it started from somewhere. Those they are own too. That's how it was. And those words are not just taken out of nothing. They are real words with which they decode real things and then contact real spiritual power. That's a matter of fact. So when we're young, those days, we grew up with it. When you sit down and say, ah, Father Yoloro is coming, you know, everybody sit down and Oshabumi, what are they doing? Their fight is always incantations. Now, you know, having grown up as a Christian, I have realized something. That thing is actually the foundation, all right? In fact, that is how spiritual things work. The difference between that and Christianity is the kind of words that we use. But it's the same principle. It's the same principle. I've been listening to messages over the last few weeks, all right? And almost every minister I've listened to recently, they seem to be laying that emphasis again. Now, I'm using my own words. They say different ways, all right? But the word I'm using again is that word incantation. Christians have to use their own incantations. They don't use it enough. They use worldly, and this life is all about incantations. What do we call incantation? It's words. Words that you repeat. The words that are not your own, but have been given to you, let me use the expression now, by the gods. Are you getting my point? In your case, has been given to you by God Almighty. When those men will come to fight, in fact, I told you before that in the Ifa listing, let me use the word religion, they have what they call Odu Ifa. That is the deep words, all right, that those guys used to, I mean, they had appropriate prescriptions for everything. They are words that apply to certain situations. I didn't understand those things until I began to study the scripture. I said, this is just the word. Can you get my point? That's how God set it up in the realm of the spirit. But Christians, you see, they haven't watched bad films all their lives. They are more afraid of the devil and the power of the occult than they are of the power of God. They have little respect for it, and it's not their fault, really. They went to church and sang hymns, and then they danced to go and give offering. I have this personal animosity these days against this offering thing. Not because I said we shouldn't give money. Yesterday we were watching in my house, we were watching TV, Rakia and I. And I saw a big church in anywhere, they were doing program. Everybody was dancing to the front to go and drop offering. I said, I'm angry. Rakia said, why? I said, look, they are making God look like a beggar. As if he's waiting there to collect the thing. They drop. I said, don't they know the road to the bank? You want to give money, go to the bank. This is 2014. That's the problem. People don't know incantation. They are so used to listen to some words, like my chief would say, those days, pay money and then go away. They don't take time out to incantate. I hope you like my English there. Yes, so they were brought up without, and that's the problem. I think that's part of the problem. If a pastor listens to it, you have to give special sessions during service for people to just declare the word of God. You charge the atmosphere. That is how you fight. That's how you win. When Father Yoloro is coming on that side, you, the Baba Yoloro, you come from this side. He uses words that have little meaning. You understand? You use the words that Jesus died to ensure that they will never fail. Please, it's so important to understand this. So I've been telling people when you wake up in the morning, God has helped me these days. I wake up at night. Before I go back to sleep, I declare a few words. If I get out these days, I throw some words, you understand, ahead of me. I do. You should do that. You don't have to fall sick before you start confessing healing. You never heard of immunization? Preventive medicine. Have you heard of preventive medicine? Yes. You eat well. What do Christians do? This day we run to Opera Square and be jogging. Preventive medicine. You have to jog the word of God. No, I keep on saying that thing. Before you go and jog physically, jog the scriptures. You should jog the scriptures. It's part of your preventive medicine. I'm going to begin to teach today on how to bless your offspring. Bless the future generations. Bless your descendants. You don't say, I don't have children yet. That is when to learn it. Are you getting my point? I'm not married yet. That's the perfect time. That is the perfect time. Even though you don't have children, just wake up in the morning and just release a few things. One day they will come and collect it. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, that's right. They will come and collect it. In fact, sometimes you release so much, from wherever they are, they will rush down to quickly come and collect it. If you are married, you quickly sharp, conceive. The children, hurry, let me collect something. Now somebody's releasing on the earth. Are you getting my point? And for those who are not married, the wife will just appear suddenly. Why? It is the children above that are pushing the two of you, come on, arrange, you want to come and collect. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Listen, don't ever forget it, oh, please. And it's not, please, let me say this again. Don't confess your desire. You'll wake up in the morning. In Jesus' name, I have a car. In Jesus' name, I have 2 pairs of shoes. Stop that. I'm not saying car is bad or shoes are bad. But that's not what I'm talking about. Your car is not the word of God. Are you getting my point? No, your car is not the word of God. It's not the word of God. If you must confess that one, just display it. Look, I have everything that I need. You know, that's better. It makes all, you know, my favorite scripture, this. It makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. All things, includes that car, includes everything. I have all sufficiency in all things. Don't focus your mind on physical things. You wake up in the morning, why are you waking up? Your wife says, ah, you are awake, yes. What's happening? I'm declaring concerning my car. You wake up at night to declare concerning your car. Did you hear what I said? Tell your neighbor, that's a bad thing. She don't wake up at night to declare concerning a motor car. No, it's not good. It's not good. You wake up at night, just take a scripture and just read it out. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I am following him. He owns me. He's a God that I serve. He's a God whose I am. You understand what I say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is no good thing that will withhold from me. That's better. Just declaring that word. Not, oh, the car is red. Amen, amen. I'm seeing it. It's red. I've told you before, that's when children, you know, it's a child's attitude. You know, there are times, things like that come to my mind, temptation, I reject the temptation. No. Why do you like red car now? It's not because your neighbor bought a red one. There was a day I went to make a brown suit. You know why I made a brown suit? I went to visit my friend in church on Sunday. He came down from his car. He was wearing a brown suit. He was looking so fine. I ran to go and sew one. It's not spiritual. So don't stop waking up at night to confess color. People say it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just don't have the time. I don't know what I get my point. That time can be used for things that are more potent. There's a very simple scripture that covers all those things. No good thing will leave his hold from those that walk uprightly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not lack anything. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. There's a kind of color that you have never seen that God will bring, and you will love more than that red. Have you ever heard, you know, there are colors I never heard of until I started getting married, and people, just as I started getting married. Until I got married and people around me began to get married, that's what I mean. Start hearing colors like fuchsia, turquoise. I remember the first day I heard lilac, you won't believe it. I never heard lilac, you know, lilac is common now. First day I heard lilac, they were discussing, the bridal, the women were discussing, what are we going to wear for Isioma's wedding? And they were talking lilac. I'm like, what is that? They say it's color. What kind of color is that? They discussed, why did you just call it light purple? What is all this lilac? And one day I heard fuchsia. Oh, there's someone I heard sometime a few years ago, puce. Okay, some people, I'm happy. I know a color that one woman doesn't know. That is good. Yes, puce. Oh, you've not heard that one before? Oh, puce, it's not color. Not color. I'm telling you. What am I going to say? Look, let's not waste time on those things. All right? When we are declaring, our incantation is plain. All right? They are plain and simple. The word of God. They are prophetic words. You are getting my point? That's what they are. Prophetic words. This is what God said. This is what we are declaring. Because he has said, therefore I can boldly say. Are you getting my point? That's it. Everything you say must be because he has said. If I like the way he said it, let's quickly read that one. All right? Hebrews. No, I like the way, because there's something I want to read from it. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, he says from verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Now, notice that. He said, God says something. And for that reason, we can confidently say something else. And that thing that he's saying is also a quotation. Are you getting my point? God said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. All right? And then he said, for that reason, we can confidently say. Now, he was quoting a scripture and quoting another one to support. Are you getting my point? That other, so this is not now. It's not time to be making personal sense. You know, sometimes I've said to you, Christians try to be too accurate and too detailed, and a lot of times it doesn't work. Just take the word of God and declare it. What will your future be like? Say, in 15 years' time, I will be a governor. After that, I will be an ex-governor, and I will be a senator. That's what I mean by unnecessary detail. In 15 years' time, we would have made $2 billion in sales in a company we are starting today, which today currently has zero, sales. Let me just say something. It's not necessary. You don't have to learn a long method of designing confessions so that you can confess regularly. It's not necessary. I've heard it said that, no, that's how Christians are supposed to do it. No, I don't accept. There is no example like that in the scriptures. Like I said to you, they are spiritual principles. So when I say spiritual principles now, I mean that, like, you have the laws of physics in the realm of the physical. In the realm of the spiritual, you also have the laws of spirits. Do you understand my point? There's physics, then there is spirits. So you can, these laws are real. You know, they are real. People will learn them. But I said there is the law of the third heavens. There is the law of the third heavens, which is the law of Christ. And in Christ, you understand my point? We don't just try and use our intellect to carve confessions based upon our desires. No, we declare that which Christ simply stated as the will of God concerning us. If we don't know the exact specific will, like, how long will it take me to get from here to Onitsha? God didn't say anything specific that you are aware of concerning it. But one thing you know is that he declares safety upon that journey. Do you understand my point? He declared prosperity upon that journey. So when I'm about to set out, I speak to the road. In all that I do, I prosper. I'm not going to say, I confess that in the next 1 hour, I'll be non-nature. It's unnecessary. What did I say? And like I said before, you see, don't put yourself in a situation where you will now be a doubter, tossed to and fro. On the road, now when you want to stop to buy corn, you say, no, I had confessed that in 1 hour, I'll be non-nature. Meanwhile, that corn is necessary for your progress. Yes, that's what I'm making. So what do I do on that journey? Well, this is my desire to get to Onitsha in 1 hour's time. I commit that to the hand of the Lord. Then I begin to declare upon the road. I declare upon the road. Safety is my portion. The angels of God, they surround me and they deliver me. No evil will befall me. You get my point? I will not dash my foot against a stone. I will not dash my front tire against a curb egg. And that's the foot of your car against the stone. You are declaring the word of God, all right? In all that I do, I prosper. Today, I prosper. In my going out and my coming in, the Lord is with me. Since I live in Enugu and I'm heading for Onitsha, that is my going out. And I'm going to return, and that is also what? My coming in. Therefore, the Lord will protect me and deliver me from all evil. That's all. That is how Christians write their confessions. We simply write what God has said. So concerning my future, you wake up in the morning and be declaring, in 6 years' time, I'm a governor. In 10 years' time, I'm an ex-governor. By that time, a serving senator. And in the 18 years' time, I'm a president. It can happen like that. Are you getting my point? but you don't know, you don't need those specific declarations unless, listen, unless God, no, it works different ways, all right? And for certain reasons, he gave you information. And that information is not even what you wake up and declare every day. It's what you inform people of if they ask questions. Are you getting my point? But when you wake up every morning, what do you declare? You declare what God has said concerning your destiny. Remember, you make confessions based upon the word of God. So you say simply like this, that, you know, I was created on purpose. The days of my life, all right, he knew them before I was made. Therefore, he's guiding me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I will walk into my destiny. Are you getting my point? You may not know the destiny, but you will walk into it. You may not know that destiny, but you will walk into it. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. You declare that all the time. These are the things you are declaring concerning your destiny. With long life, he will satisfy me. You are declaring these things. Why? Those are the things that are recorded in the word of God. Those are the incantations of Christianity. Back to where I started from, don't forget to declare them every day. If you wake up at night, you just stagger to the bathroom to go and ease yourself. As you stagger back to bed, declare it again. In peace, I'm lying down, sleeping. The Lord is always making me dwell in safety. Listen, those two sentences, they are more powerful than having a garrison of soldiers physically around your house. That's a matter of fact. And that's why, you know, when, you know, Jack put this last time, I was listening to one man of God preach. He said Jesus never even, he didn't command the bread to multiply when he fed 5,000. All he did was to take the one he had, and then he just gave thanks for that. I said, who wants bread? Isa, take. Who wants fish? Isa, take. Who wants bread? Isa, take. Who wants fish? And the thing kept on increasing. I learned something long ago. We were taught, and I believed it, all right, and I still believe it, that Jesus, you didn't see him any time asking God for food, praying for such things. So is it that he never talked about them at all? We believe he did, but that he lived his life in Psalm 23. I believe he wake up in the morning as he's giving thanks for bread. That's how he used to give thanks for the day. Lord, I thank you because I have woken up today. Today again, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, for us, you see those things that that became fossilized in religion. Let us read Psalm 23. People just read it without paying attention to it. The reading of it is good, but for you and I that have understanding, the reading of it is not just religion, it's life. Are you getting my point? So now if you read Psalm 23, it is what? Life. Occasionally, listen, let me tell you something. As you're studying the word of God, once in a while, the scripture will hit you. That one that hits you, hold it. That's your own personal medicine. Did you hear what I said? What did I call it? So, you know, this is the day of technology. All these phones, they have screensaver or lock screen. I use an Android phone. They have lock screen that you can put a message on it. So I put in my own. There are two. One we're teaching on them, the cross of Christ. I wrote it there. Banky, that's my name, the name of the owner of the phone. Locked on Christ's cross. Now, what does that mean? Remember, we're talking about gazing attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. So, because it didn't allow too many characters, I just wrote it locked on the cross of Christ. In fact, Ron Rocker saw it, he laughed. He said, to unlock this phone, you have to get to the cross of Christ. Of course, because that's my lock screen message, you understand? So the guy said, to unlock this phone, to the cross of Christ. But what I meant when I wrote it is that, listen, the owner of this phone, his gaze is focused on the cross of Christ. Then I saw another opportunity to write something. And what did I write in that one? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So they didn't allow that one to display fully. So if you pick my phone, I just see it.
Christ in me, the hope. So anytime I pick my phone, that's what I see. What am I going to say? If you get a scripture, remember my scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Once in a while, I remember it, and I release a few lines. The angels that bring supplies, they know they have to walk. That word cannot fail. Did you hear what I said? It cannot fail. So when you discover a scripture, that's your own personal medicine. When you wake up in the morning, take 2 tablets. Oh God, look, I'll get to my message in a moment, but I think we should discuss this thing. You know the way life is? If they tell you you are sick, they give you medicine to take every day. And people take it every day. They keep appointment. Doctor says, see me every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, what do? You go and see the doctor. Listen, God said to them, I'm the Lord, the way most translations say it, the Lord that healed thee. The prince said, literally he meant, I am Jehovah thy doctor. And I'm saying to you again today, he has prescriptions for you. Yes. Attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, they are life to those who find them. I told you, the one that you find is your medicine. He said, and medicine to all their flesh. Once you find the scripture, hold it. Take it every day. It will cure your diseases. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It will bring you out of poverty into prosperity.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it again. Don't be wasting your time trying to give and give so that you will prosper. You can give and give and become broke. Yes, I have my reason for saying it. It's scripture. The one that can never fail is the word of God. The seed is what?
The word of God.
The seed is what?
The word of God.
The word of God. You can never go to God to pray and say, God, I have given, it's time for breakthrough. No. It's the word that you have discovered that is your medicine for prosperity. Every giving that a child of God does is born of 2 things. One, love. I mean, if I have 20 naira and somebody needs just 2 naira and I love the person, I can part with it. That's basic. The second reason, the second motivation is faith. I realize that 20 naira is not actually all that I have. I have more, even though you can't see it. I have more. Where that 20 naira came from, there's still plenty there. Those are the 2 reasons why Christians give. They don't give so that, this 20 naira is about to finish. Sweetheart, yes, husband, quickly rush to church, sow a seed so that I can become 50 naira. No, it's unnecessary. It is unnecessary. Somebody reported something to me the other day. They said that the person helped me preach. I said, leave that one that Pastor Frankie is saying. That if we don't do these things, how are we going to raise money to build the church? Anytime I hear it, I say, hey, I'm not surprised. It is preachers that don't like to hear me say it. The people of God, it's liberating. Yeah, for them it's liberating, so they don't mind hearing it. Giving is not by compulsion. If I don't give now, I won't prosper. That's compulsive giving. That's what the Bible calls by compulsion. Somebody is forcing you, putting pressure on you. No. In fact, you won't be blessed like that anyway. Because God doesn't like that kind of attitude. That's not, you don't understand that God is love. You think God is hard. That's your own interpretation of God. God is hard. He won't bless you like that. When the Bible talks about cheerful giving, let me say it to you again. Go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. A cheerful giver is not just the person who dances. The person just love dancing. Anytime God describes something, that description is of the heart. Because as a rule, God does not look outside. He always looks at the heart. God does not see as man sees. So you can be dancing outside, man sees that. What God is really seeing is how the heart is responding. It is the heart of faith. That is what makes somebody a cheerful giver. If I give money, maybe all I have is 1,000 naira, and I give the 1,000 naira. So, you're not afraid? Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And it's already night, so the day has ended. Let that 1,000 naira go. It's enough for that day. You understand my point? Yeah, that money is enough. Let's use this as an illustration. That's faith now, as an illustration, all right? I told this story before. Once I was traveling back to Nigeria, I used Emirates. So I was in Dubai duty-free. For certain reasons, I was there for a very long time, all right? Let me not go into that, the reason. But then after I checked in my, you know, everything, you're just my carry-on and my passport in my hand, nothing else to do. I checked my purse. I had $100 left. So I went to the counter and bought my wife a gold ring. I remember it was $85, so they gave me $15 change, put them for pocket. Why did I do that? I said, the journey has ended. The next time I touch down, I'm at home. And my wife is going to be waiting with my friends at the airport to receive me. I won't need money again. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That is, I understood that this $100, sufficient unto the journey, at the dollars thereof. So that $100 remaining, I didn't need it again. In the same manner, we Christians are not afraid to give because we are not thinking that what will not happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, God, you know, remember my wife waiting for me? God, the angels, they are there waiting in that tomorrow. He's the same God. You know, let's start from yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same God tomorrow. What that literally means that whatever he can do today, he can still do it tomorrow. And while you are in today, he has already gone ahead into tomorrow and is waiting for you for your plane to land in tomorrow. You don't need to carry the money of yesterday and say, hey, I don't know whether you're getting it, the way I'm working that one out there. That is why Christians give. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. One day I told a friend of mine, I said, I want to buy a car. He said, what are you doing with a car? Why don't you build a house? I said, the price of a house and that of a car, they are too different. And I said, my life cannot enter pause because of a house. Are you getting my point? I said, listen, I must live my life normally while I'm doing those things. And I meant it. You know, when many years ago, I'll get into my message for today, all right? I'm just trying to emphasize why Christians, the Lord is good. You know, many years ago, my name is Bankole, all right, because if you understand the way it is, my father was building a house when I was born. The house is still there. And it's mine to maintain now. Just taking money from me, not really giving me anything more than just taking money out of my pocket. It's your father's house, you have to take care of it. All right, thank God for it, no problem. Then now, that one happened while I was a baby, so I can't remember. I grew up that we just used to play in the house. We travel back to home, and then that's where we used to stay. And then the house is still there. It's still there. Nice house, still there. Many years after. But then in 1985, 87, my father was now building the house where we're living. That was in our hometown. And then, I don't know if you were old enough that time, you understand SAP. SAP now caught up with him while the house was halfway through construction. Oh my God. It wasn't easy. It was not easy. It was hard. I remember that 87 period. No, it was before it. Around 85. It was not easy. As young as I was then, that's where I'm going. I swore that it would never happen to me. I said, this one? Why? Why doesn't he just pay rent where we are staying? And leave all this stress. That's just my attitude, though. I said, look, life has, now I'm using modern day words now. Life has, everything has value, has a cost. That's the only thing I tell my wife all the time. When we're discussing, I say, look, when you're doing business, don't only cost naira and kobo, cost your stress.
If you get high blood pressure and they give you modern drugs, you will know how much that stress is in naira value. People go through all this stress. Why? You just have to own this thing. I have no problem with it. You can own it. But for me, what it is adding to my life must be much, much, much more than the stress is taking, you know, the stress is putting in my life, which is taking peace away from me. I valued it that time. I decided that for my father, it was a bad investment. Yes. And many of us today, we are like that. Say, one man want to die to buy a car. He said, listen, after 3 years of saving, oh, but we will drink Coke. No, water will be good. You actually wanted the Coke. But, you know, the Coke costs money. The water is free. Why? You are saving money to buy motor. I have no problem with it. Cars are good, all right? They've been a tremendous blessing to my life. But then when you put the value that the car will deliver into your life, I am telling you, you have paid too much for it. Yes, you will have done well in life. Take your money. Enter a keke. Breeze will be blowing you, you know? You don't need to pay for AC, you know? Breeze will blow you. Then when you go out, you and your friends, you can buy suya. You just leave behind pocket. Remember a friend of mine once, they said, buy groundnut. He said, he doesn't have money. So the other guy said, how much is this groundnut? The quarrel began in the where we were in the vehicle. The guy brought his auntie's car. What was the issue? My friend was saving money to buy something. So he didn't have money to buy groundnut. Listen, that is too expensive. Are you getting my point? No, that is too expensive. That's wisdom for a lot of people. It's too expensive. You have to value the stress. So people will know that I'm a big man if you buy a car. You are pretending. I thank God I've been preaching for a very long time. People used to listen to me when I arrived there on an Okada. I'm not joking. Take a bike, come, they will still be blessed. And next time they will still call me to come back. The kind of car I came in didn't make any difference. When I met my wife, I didn't have it. Now, she married me without the car. Amen? And she's very happy she did. The Lord is good. Let's not talk about her. Let's talk about me. Will by killing myself to buy a car that time, will they have made her marry me more? Is that you marry or not marry? No, so. And she married me as soon as possible. Any woman that won't marry without your car, leave her alone. She was not sent by God. And in case she was sent by God, she has gone to Tarshish. She didn't come to Nineveh. Leave her alone. Listen, just let her go to Tarshish. She will enter into the water. The fish will swallow her. If she repents, she'll be vomited. If she does not repent, she'll be digested. Don't worry about it. But the woman sent to you will marry you. Amen? Amen? Guys, the woman sent to you, she will marry you. Amen?
Amen?
Don't buy a car to impress anybody. If you can buy it, fine. Oh. Are you getting my point? It's a good thing. But if you can't, don't worry about it. Life is in seasons. Men are in sizes. Bishop Oedipo said, live your size by time. The crucial thing about living your size by time is that you will survive until the next time when your season will have changed and your size will have become bigger. Yes. If you want to live the size of tomorrow today, you will die before tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I saying? Why did I go into all of that? That is the value of faith. That's value of faith. So, I can afford to do a lot of things, including giving with money, even though I have not bought that car. Why? Because I know when the season comes, the Bible says when the crop permits, he puts on in the sickle because the harvest has come. When something is too difficult, the crop has not permitted. You reach your house. Oh boy, your bulb don't burn. No, go buy another bulb. So boy, I won't buy motor. That is why your sitting room is in darkness. Tell that person, when you see him, the crop has not permitted. Your brother will call you. Say, Ross, I beg, get one handout, what we won't buy for school. No, it's a textbook. Very nice book. In fact, it's the best book on this subject. Lecturer recommended it. How much is it? 5,000. Enough in photocopier. Photocopy is not the problem. Why can't you give the boy 5,000? Oh boy, I won't buy moto. Tell the person the crop has not permitted. You go to church, your pastor says, yeah, we are inviting one man of God to come in to preach. You know, it's going to be a tremendous blessing. This man blessed me 6 years ago. Since then, my life has not been the same. So he's going to come from Zimbabwe, you know. Let's just take an African country, all right? Yeah, and then it's going to be a tremendous budget. So the budget for flying him and everything, hosting everything, is maybe like 400,000. So please, we'd like brethren to please do what they can to let this happen. Can you go and call people afterwards? What is all of this? Must we bring somewhere from Zimbabwe? I didn't know preachers in Enugu again. No, your talk, you dey vex. You just dey vex. Why? Because in your spirit, you know you're supposed to drop that kind 20, 30, 50K towards that thing that will bless 1,000 people. But you won't buy moto. So, you know, your money is not complete again. So you are angry. You are angry. You are very angry now. Well, the way pastors always doing, after all, the word we have here, in fact, he is a man of God. He can continue to bless us. You know, all of this because you don't want to spend that money. Tell anybody that's living like that, say, the crop has not yet permitted. You shouldn't be getting something like a car, a house, temporal things, and you put the whole of your life in distress. No. Not at all. You can, acquisition of a material thing shouldn't put your life in distress. It prevents you can't give again. You can't relax. You want food that you want to eat that your soul desires. You can't eat it. You are fasting like Daniel. No pleasant food. That's why you start believing all kinds of diets. Meat is not good for you. Why can't it be good for you when you want to buy a motor? Why? You don't want to buy it. You understand my point? You enter into distress. Next time your mother calls, you are looking. Why is mommy calling now? Why? Car. Motor car. Look, if God wants to show you serve, you know they call show serve. You know what I say? You play table tennis? You did one corner, you got some of it. You dive like this, and all wound you. You got one wound here. We'll send you one car, when the engine go knock after 1 week. Bwah! We'll catch fire. Bwah! What happened? Everybody go to rush fire extinguisher. Things will remove, from the pot, they go begin harvest your radiator. I want me to carry the whole thing self. To let you know that all flesh is what? Grass. I was telling my wife that they were discovered. I preached it here before. I said, listen. I said, I told my wife, we're sitting there in the house. I said, baby, because the way our house is, all right, our bedroom has a door to the balcony. All right, so if you toss it open, most of the time the door is open, and so the breeze of God that passes all understanding enters through there, you understand? So I told my wife, I said, listen, see, as we did here, so breeze they enter. Breeze is entering. And we're enjoying it, cool breeze. I said, imagine now that suddenly the breeze stops. And I said, sweetheart, dress up, where your canvas? Say what? Let's chase the breeze that's gone down the road. And we're running after it. The neighbors will say, these two people have gone crazy. That's how material things are. When they blow on you, they are sweet. They are sweet. That's how material things are. And that's what Solomon explained. He said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. But when the wind chases after you, you know it is sweet. That's how things are vanity are. When they come easy, it is sweet. But when you run after them, you are mad. Are you getting my point? That's it. How do you know you are running after material things? The whole of your life has come to an end. Because of a material thing. You know, women sometimes make me laugh. You buy gold, pay over 6 months.
May area boy collect it. You will wear it to market one day. You know, there's the one they will snatch. Sharp, no, they will stop. Slap you first before they collect it. That one, you know, God sent them. Gold, 6 months, you are paying. See what happened? You bought a suit since last year. Suit. Chai! There is God, though. All this money you people are wasting. You know what I like about his life? God has put things in different levels. If you can't buy the ring that's 15,000, you buy the one that is 5,000. If that one is not the will of God concerning you, you buy the one that's 1,500. If that one serve is not is not your level today, there are some they sell for like 200. And in case that one serve, you can't use it, you go to people, you use the gleaning level. You know what they call gleaning level?
Yes.
You just come to my house. Ah, Mrs. B, how now? Ah, that's your sister's on rings now. That's the gleaning level. She go open her. Which one do you like? I like this one. Collect. That one you don't have to pay for it. That's how it is. This is when we're in Lagos. I told the story many times. People say, man, Dr. Oshino dresses sharp. I dress very sharp. What you don't know is how sharp the money I used to buy it was. And you go to Mandela's. What are you doing where they are selling Van Heusen? What do you concern? You concern Van Heusen? Your father's name, Van Heusen. What's my problem with Van Heusen? You go behind Balogun, you get one area, they don't get, look, they don't arrange the shirt. Wash and wear, starch, straight. How much? 250. Let me have one. Van Heusen in front was 5,000. This one, 250. But one thing I thank God for, it is not the shirt, it's who's wearing it.
Yes,
when I reach work like this, bros, they shine. I'm telling you. If I tell you I bought the shirt for two, you won't believe it. Why would you believe it? When I'm shining like this. You won't believe it. Why would you believe it? I remember one day after I reached Enugu, you know, there was one job I did, and the one they paid, told my wife, now, I was already a married man. I went to Benin, went to forestry, and bought like four, you know, at the same time, each one, 5K, you know, gone from the days of 250 to 500 for one. I bought four different colors, either three or four. I wanted to buy four. If I bought three, they didn't have the last color. Took the thing. Wore it with cufflinks, put my tie. Said, the note, I put in the sickle because the harvest had come. The crop by that time, it permitted. Not joking now, if I like a suit and I tell my wife, how much is 50K, drop one there. I'm telling you. But there was a time, brother, Sunday, have you finished my suit? Brother, Sunday, I don't like the way you did my trouser. Oh, brother, today that's the guy who made my wedding suit. What? Those days are what? The Lord is good. Why did I go into that? That is why Christians can give. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. No, my message never finished. And don't worry about it. You don't need to impress anybody. If I can marry my wife without trying to impress her, then you know it is possible. Yes. Listen, you don't have any right to be in unnecessary distress. You bought a car that you couldn't properly afford. It's been every day. You change the radiator. You change the radiator. You drive on today. Kuru. What happened? You know, the ball joint is loose. They tighten up. You take a corner. Boom, it falls out again. You know, that kind of thing. You change it. After some time, park the car there. And say, Banjo, who won't buy? Who sinned more than me that he can take this? I can take this punishment and continue. You get what I'm trying to explain? And free yourself. Free yourself.
yourself. Free yourself. Free yourself. Please free yourself. He said, but what the money I, what about the money I invested? That is how 419 people catch people. That's how they catch people. The one you have invested in. That's why I preached a message long ago titled Take That Loss. It's in our archive. Go and get it. Listen to that message. Take that loss. Just tell God, I repent. Take the loss. I said, okay. Yes, if you sell it now, you know, you will lose 500,000. Doesn't matter. At least I will survive. Just carry it away. Go and listen to that message again. It's titled what? Take that loss. That's one of the marks of Christianity. Look, that's the end of it. It has gone. We have lost. It's a bad decision. Yes, we will not try to salvage a bad decision. You don't, like they say in business, you don't use good money to pursue after bad one. You shouldn't use good money to be running after a bad one. It's a bad deal. Forget it. Pack the card. Okay, you don't want to sell it. Pack it, jack it, remove. I told you one of my colleagues bought a car like that when we were residents. The car would drive, he would drive the car for 2 days, the car would drive him for 3 days. It was turn by turn. It was turn by turn. My guy would drive the car for 2 days, the car would drive him for 3 days. One day the mechanics took the car away for some time. One day they came by, police were looking for Dr. ABC. I said, he's not around. Okay, we came to return his car. Okay, you guys are finished fixing it, eh? All right, okay. He's not around. Okay, you see him tomorrow. The guy went away. After 15 minutes, he came back. He said, can I park the car here? I said, well, it's safe. You can park it here. But why suddenly did you change your mind? He said, I just wanted to reverse the car. The guy no green shifted. He cannot green move again. I said, what is with the car? Not with the car where you drive. Come here just now. He said, no. This car has been with the mechanic for like 3, 4, 5 days. He came to deliver it. So I went there. Let's see what is wrong with it. I know a little bit about cars too. Let me see what I can give the mechanic a suggestion. So I tried to drive it. I said, I think the clutch cable is bad. He said, okay, it's not clutch cable. The thing is not engaging. He said, it's not clutch. I said, don't worry. I said, okay, you can leave it here. We kept the car after a while. He went and brought his boys and they pushed the car all the way back. Later when I asked the guy, he said, oh, at that point in time, the shaft fell apart. That day, I remember when he came to the office, he was so angry. What kind of thing is this? This car is just, I'm going to sell it. Banky, do you want to buy? I said, in my mind, did I sin as much as you? Obviously, you committed more iniquity than me. I beg. Am I mad? What kind of thing is that? I'm seeing you going through punishment like this. I will not inherit your punishment. Why? What do I look like? You a mug? I lie. God forbid, but the problem with people, some people they buy it. One of my uncle said to me, there's one car. I didn't have a car that time. There's one car they want to sell, a B2. I said, how much? This was years ago. No, B2's not that bad. This was years ago. This was 1986, thereabout. He said, no, not 86, 96, sorry. 86, I was invested. 96. Yes, around 96, yes. So I said, although it was still old, though. They stopped making it like maybe 15, 20 years before that time. You understand my point? Uh-huh. I said, B2, that one will be old now. He said, how much? He said, listen to this, you're going to laugh. He said, 25,000. I said, uncle, 25,000. That's not that cheap. The car must be. He said, no problem. By the time you spend under 25 on it, it go good. We start with 25, you buy 25, spend 25 on it, it go good. You see, I have no problem with trekking. You know, that, you know some of those things people don't realize. No problem with trekking. I could trek. I had no problem with trekking. It's when you have a problem with trekking that you buy such things. I know what they call Okuakparo in Yoruba. They have a proverb in Yoruba. I say, if you are good on the road, you see a partridge, you know the bird, partridge, is dead on the road.
He said, if you carry it, you carry trouble. Because what bird would just die? You know, you understand my point? And you are not afraid. You want to go and eat it. I said, like me? I said, Uncle, no. You see, I have no problem with trek. And those days, I loved the Bible says you live in houses you did not build. You would drive cars you did not buy. You ride buses that you did not pay for. Are you getting my point? That was my principle. You enter one bus, Ojuelegba. You enter. If it breaks down any way, halfway, you come down. You know, go settle the conductor, enter the next one. And you'll be changing vehicles anyhow. Even those that have one, they have to drive. But you can change cars 4 times in one day. So you're a big man. You are going from here to there. You use one car. You pay the guy. I love Enugu. Thank God for Sullivan. May he live long. May God bless him. Yes, because, you know, before him, Enugu didn't have taxes. Now we have choice. You know, see, your AC, they work. And you know that's what happened in Enugu. People will now stop. Your AC, is it working? I say, oh, guy, I'm a shift. You don't have a car, but you now select. Your AC, okay, AC is working, yes, you know. Uh-huh. You see that at the back for 400 naira. That is the will of God for that moment. Amen?
Amen.
And you enjoy it. You should enjoy it. You shouldn't be worldly. You should not take, you know, don't allow people to put you under pressure. Say, this is not what your mate is wearing now. And like I keep on saying, do you have mate?
No.
You don't have mate. You came into this world alone. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, your mother. When I called him alone. 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 Then try to impress. I won't try to impress anybody. I said this jokingly all the time. First day, I went. My wife invited me for their Saint Faith in school. She was graduating. I got there. We're not married then, of course. But that was when we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know. And I reached there, and she showed. When she showed for that this and this, and the cloth which she wear, I just didn't look. I was looking at that list. I remember very well. At that time. My whole month salary couldn't buy 4 yards. I'm not exaggerating. That's literal. Literal. That's not a joke. That is that one when she wear that evening. If I go back, they pay salary, I count them. Look the salary. The cloth high pass up. I just didn't look, see? My father in heaven. Why do parents spoil children like this? And then I call and say, okay, come. Your mama give you this kind of cloth where you were. He smiled. I said, does he know you're going to marry? I said, young men can't buy things like this. She laughs. I wear print. I say, yes, better wear print too. Because that is all this guy is planning to buy. I said, I wear print. You wear print. God bless you. I'm happy you wear print. No, look, I had a reputation for it. I'm not joking. I know they pretend for anybody. All right, so the point I was making is this. In summary, all right, this is in summary. There's no one of the reasons why people get under, of course, the reason why people get under pressure is because they feel like they have to impress somebody, they have to show somebody they are what God hasn't yet made them. All right? And listen to me, it's unnecessary. What did I say? One more time, it's unnecessary. It is totally unnecessary. You will get to where you are going to get to at the appropriate time. Are you getting my point? Yes. You know, a time will come, you will look and say, why was I even concerned about those things? It will happen to you. Listen, it will happen to you. It will happen to you. A time will come. Listen, if you wanted 20 cars in one day, you'll be able to buy it. So, you know, they will come to be a regular wedding present for you. Somebody's getting married. It won't be a big deal. It's okay. How is it? Fred, all right, give him a car. He comes to your house. Thank you, sir. I just want to thank you for attending. Did we give you anything that day? No. We didn't. You just look outside. I wonder if this guy won the one whole month. It's not too big. The young man can maintain it. I say, bring the keys. Oh, yeah, easy to carry your wife home.
Amen.
It will happen to you.
Amen.
listen, it will happen to you.
Amen.
You are not the one they will be giving. You are the one that will be giving people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I like that quotation, that word from the mouth of Bishop W. Oyedepo. He said, life is in phases. Men are in sizes. So the conclusion is, live your size by time. Whatever you are right now is the smallest you will ever be.
Amen.
Yes, is the smallest you will ever be.
Amen.
Whatever you are right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, is the smallest you will ever be.
Amen.
Initially, you'll be growing slowly. Then you start growing rapidly. Then at the time, you grow exponentially.
Amen.
That is, there's a time will come, your income will just double over 1 year. Then one day, over the next 3 years, it will go up like 50 times. A time will come, you'll not be measuring income anymore. You'll now be measuring outcome. You know that problem? You know there's income and there's outcome. This is what I call outcome. What you are paying people. Income is what you are earning. Outcome is now what you are paying. That is what you will start measuring after a time. So it will be for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bishop Oyedepo also said, the blessing of God comes at a time it will not become a curse. So even though it's slow, it is sure. He said, I'd rather be slow but sure than be fast and eventually fail. That's the way it is. The blessing of God comes at a time it will not become a curse. He said, I'd rather be slow but sure rather than to be fast and then fail eventually. Let me pray for you again. You will not fail eventually in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day.
Amen.
And that is how your life will be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
You know, I started that. I wanted to just tell us why we should do our incantations. Then we now went into talking about how faith works. And then the time now finished. Don't worry. Next Tuesday, I'm going to now start with how to bless your generations, that is your descendants, all right? But let's just read one scripture, all right, to start it, and then, so that we'll know, just to remind me, that I just need to remind myself what we're going to be dealing with next time. Psalm 87. I'll just read it, and then we declare some words, and then we're out of here. When I began to speak, I wanted us to declare some things. I was laying up to the declarations. Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. It says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Verse 4 says, I shall mention Rahab, that is Egypt. That refers to Egypt, and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, which is Ethiopia. This one was born there. That is, people will say, oh, when I mention these glorious countries, I mention United States, I mention United Kingdom, I mention beautiful countries, I mention France that drove Nigeria out of the World Cup. And somebody will say, oh, this man is a French citizen. This man is an American citizen. They say it boldly. But in verse 5 it says, but of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. He said, Selah. Think about that. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. This is a very important scripture, and I think we have to look at it very well. What was he saying here? You will hear that somebody was born in Egypt. Egypt that time was like Europe today, all right? He mentioned Babylon, great countries. That's like United States. And people take pride in the fact that this one was born there. He said, but this was going to happen. A time will come when the people that will be proud are those that you will point to and say, this one was born in Zion. Are you getting my point? Why do we take pride in those places?
Why would people sell everything they have to go and have their children in America? It's simply so that the child can grow up and say, I'm an American citizen, and they believe that's a key to prosperity. That is, this boy was born there. But God is saying, the man, the boy, the girl, the woman that will really prosper, it will be because there is a foundation of Zion that was laid in the life of that person. And that's how it is. And that's what I want to talk about. Blessing your descendants. I thought about it. I know many people who live in different parts of the world today. You understand my point? And most of them were born in Nigeria. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Listen, anyway, when we go on, I will explain it in details. What your children really need. But this is our school of prayer. As I want to talk about it, so I'm leaning towards prayer. What your children really need. That's what I want to talk about. What is it that you give to them? What is that thing that's more important than a British visa, a passport? What is that thing which is more important than an American passport? There is something that's more important. And it says that of Zion it shall be said, this one was born in her. That which you give your children that is most important is that root in Zion. Is that root in the kingdom of God. You will see as we go on, we'll read about the righteous man. That is, that one, his seed will be mighty on the earth. That is, what I need is to lay a foundation of righteousness, all right? Both in my life and in my home, and then in the lives of my children. And he said, I know Abraham, we read down from Genesis chapter 18, because I have chosen him, because I know that he will teach his household, his children and his household after him, in the way of the Lord, how to do righteousness and justice, so that the Lord can bring to pass that which he promised concerning Abraham. That is, these children will make it in life, not because of where they were born or where they were raised, but because Abraham taught them the way of the Lord in how to do righteousness and justice. That's what I want to talk about. How to take your children every morning and speak to them. You don't declare according to how they were born. One day, brother was talking with me. You know, we're playing with his son. And the boy had hair. You know, the children that were born, it looks like Sahara Desert blew over their head. You understand my point? There are some that were born, you know they were born in tropical rainforest. You understand my point? This boy was one of those tropical rainforest people. And we're just saying, man, this boy has hair. And he said that, he said it's going to remain like that. I said, how do you know? Because the Sahara Desert, desert encroachment that encroached onto his head. So he said, no, that he has this thing, but that his wife's family, they don't have it. Therefore, he's believing that the boy inherited genes from his mother. I said, error. Error. That is a mistake Christians make. If you like the boy's hair and you want it to stay, this is funny. Talk to it. Talk to the hair. Don't say this hair was born from your family side, mother's side. Give the hair root in Zion. It sounds funny. Is that how you say hair? That is how faith is. Original genetic engineering. You will study it from the life of Jacob again. Jacob didn't say, hey, Gregor Mendel has not come to let me know whether your traits are autosomal recessive or autosomal dominant. He just said, I am going to carve sticks and put in front of you. As you are mating, look at that stick steadfastly, attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, and your genes will rearrange. That's what I want to talk about. You don't talk to your children and say, this one is very smart. He's therefore going to be an engineer, a computer engineer, a NASA scientist. Why? Because you think he's very smart. That's no guarantee of anything. If he's not smart, you talk to him. Oh boy, come here. Kneel down. You're about to get infusion of smartness. I will pray. Then God will reveal to me, either specifically or non-specifically, what your future should be like. And I start telling you now. I will start telling you now. That is what the children need. Not an American visa, a passport. Not a passport from anywhere. If you were living in Kenya, when your wife decided to give birth, have them in Kenya. If in Australia you live, have them there. If it's Nigeria, don't worry about it. I think it is too much. This is my opinion. Some people will disagree with this, but I will say it. Let us say it. Don't make a woman that's 8 months old board a flight. For what? If they say, let us fly to Sokoto now to go and visit, you say, no, she's pregnant. Yes, you will refuse. In fact, the airlines will even refuse for you. The airline will say, eh? Do you know how much they sell aviation for? If you start contracting when we are halfway through our journey, we have to do emergency landing. I beg. They no go Greek carry. But if it is to go, you say, my son must be born an American citizen. Listen, in this life, I want to say something. It sounds a bit extreme. But any money you can't give as an offering, don't use to do some mundane things. I don't know what I get my point. If you have never given half a millionaire as offering, there are things you don't spend half a millionaire on. You need to give a child a visa, a passport. It's a waste of money. Yes, that's not supposed to be a joke. One day my wife said, she's traveling, you know. She wants to carry two of the kids with her. I didn't say anything, no. I agree, that's why I didn't say anything. After they left, I checked the amount of money I spent on tickets for two boys. I went and gave it as offering. so that my spirit can calm down. Why I just give that example? It's simply because I just said, listen, that's one of the tricks in life. For me, anything I cannot give as an offering, I don't use to do what I consider mundane and unimportant. That's it. It's a simple guide. I'm not saying you must follow it strictly, but it's a simple guide. Is this thing important or is not important? Ask yourself, can I give this money out as an offering? For me, if I think something is unimportant, the cost, I must have excelled that in giving, dashing money out. If I haven't, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I should do serious things with money. Not in my... One day, my wife said, she was going to the U.S. so that she can process visa for Omena. So she'll go and see her cousin. How much discount is the airline going to give me? To let a 7-year-old go and see her cousin for 3 weeks. I said, go and get correct internet, Skype. They can see each other on Skype. Can see each other on Skype. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, it's true. It's just like you have to know what you are living for. Look, let me close. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, I hope you are blessed. Let me apologize, all right? I didn't get into my message, but I know, I trust God that certain people will help seriously today. All right, if you are one of them, shout a loud amen. Amen. All right, let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's close our feet quickly. And let's declare that thing that I wanted us to start declaring today. Everybody say after me, say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will. I am filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, pause. Think about it. Say it again. I am filled with the knowledge of his will. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say it. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. You know, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. You know, when we finish, maybe this Saturday, I don't know whether I was going to go yet, but after that, I'm talking about the 7 names of God. It's very important, please, don't miss the sessions, the 7 names of God. Like I said, I'm not going to count 1 to 7. You'll see when I start why I chose the name, why I chose the letter 7 or the word 7 to start it. But this is the point. As you increase in the knowledge of God, the manifestation of the power of God in your life begins to increase. Amen. That is how it is. All right? And that's why you need to declare it. You wake up every day, say it like you mean it. Say it again after me. Say, I increase in the knowledge of God.
I increase in the knowledge of God.
Say it, I'm strengthened by the power of God. And I attain all steadfastness.
I walk by faith.
And not by sight.
And not by Said, my eyes are set on the things above.
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 I derive satisfaction from spiritual things.
I derive satisfaction from spiritual
not from material things.
Not from material things.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
And I please him in all respects.
I bear fruit in every good work.
And
I increase in the knowledge of God.
Just give the Lord thanks for today. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him.
I declare to you that goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Favor will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will have respect unto the covenant and deliver you from the cruelty that is in the earth today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you go out, I say to you again, you are safe.
Amen.
Your safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
You are safe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
If there's anywhere that's paining you, I just feel led to do this. Just put a hand on it quickly, quickly. I want to curse that pain. I want to curse that affliction. Everybody, just bow your heads as you are in prayer. In the name of Jesus, the healing power of God, I command by the power of God that pain to disappear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let the healing power of God enter that place now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Satan, I command you, you spirit of infirmity, lose your hold in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus died to set these people free. Therefore, you have no power to keep them bound. Be free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, be free in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just wave both hands and say, Lord, I receive it. I thank you for it. Just declare, that's it, that's it, that's it. Just declare. See, it's what you declare. That is what your portion is. I receive that healing. It is the word of God for me. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Quickly, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.